show you something if you got your Bibles, please. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18, if you could put it up, John. Colossians 1:18. I'm going to give you a message on authority today, if that's okay. I'm going to show you whose authority and how do you stay under the authority of God. If you want to sit down, David, grab yourself a chair on the pulpit because you're going to stand up for a while. There's a good stand right there. You're going to be standing for a while. It'll take me half an hour, and we're going to record this. If I can do it in less time, I'm going to try my best to do it. Colossians 1:18 says this. Are you ready? Let's stand for the reading of this, because this is where a judge comes in. And when a judge comes in, you stand before the judge. When a king comes in and makes his entrance, you stand before a king. When the word of God is being spoken, it's the authority over your life. We should stand, amen? And let's read it, if you guys can read it with me. Here's what it says altogether. Christ is also the head of the church. Someone say amen. And not only this building, amen. When God is talking about Christ as the head of the church, someone touch yourself or touch your neighbor, say, that's you. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, that's you all over this place. You are the body, you are the bride, and he is the head, which represents the authority. Someone shout with me, authority. Now watch this. Christ is also the head of the church, which is also his body. Praise God. Guess whose body this is? It's his. Guess who created you? He did. And he is the beginning, supreme over all, who rose from the dead. So he is the first in everything. Someone say, he's number one in everything. Let's read it one more time. For Christ is also the head of the church, which is this body. You may be seated in the presence of God for a moment. Tonight I want to talk to you about the authority that God has. And I taught you this about a year ago. Matthew chapter 8. As I read this with you. Matthew chapter 8, verses 20. Matthew chapter 8, verses 20. Just to let everyone know, remember guys, church is 7:30, 7:35, sometimes on the dot. That way we can catch the worship and be obedient to his church. Praise God. How many enjoyed their Sunday today? Beautiful. Isn't it so pretty when the sun shines in Washington? Hallelujah. I thought there'd be a lot more people than this. People should have got dressed and said, we're going to church. It's too pretty not to go to church. Why stay home? And I'm going to talk about people, why they stay home for Sunday, how they don't recognize the authority of God and they need to be here on a Sunday. And we're going to help people get here. Someone say amen. Okay, I'm going to show you tonight authority. You ready? Jesus comes in the book of Matthew. I want guys who read the Bible to understand this. The book of Matthew chapter 8 is written about authority. The whole verse from verse 1 all the way to the end of it, it's all about authority. And when Matthew, the writer, the tax collector, remember, Jesus called Matthew the sinner. He was one of the chief sinners. He was the chief tax collector. And God goes to him and God calls him now to become a disciple. And now Matthew, the man who was a sinner, the man that nobody wanted to be around because he was full of evil things. He was full of serving of the world, of the authority of the world. But now God calls him to become an authority figure of God. Hallelujah. And now Matthew records this scene. And this is what happens to people. I'm going to read verses 18. You stay at 20. And when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of the religious law, keep that in mind, said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now I want to talk to people tonight. I said this today in Renton. I said, people, I've been doing this since 1985. Listen, 1985. I was a little boy. And I started hearing this as my father got involved. And he went to the churches and we went from church to church. And then we went to Chicago. And everywhere I went, people said, pastor, we want to follow. We want to be a servant. We want to be a disciple. We want to preach. We want to sing. We want to direct. We want to be a deacon. We want to be a teacher. And religion will always want to follow God for the wrong reason. It didn't say to people in love. It didn't say to people in relationship. It said religious leaders. Now, religious leaders didn't make it to heaven because they had a religion about Jesus, not a relationship about Jesus. Am I getting anyone's attention here tonight? Listen to me. And we're here tonight to break the spirit of religion because religion thinks it has authority over you. And I'm here to tell you religion don't have authority over you. Only the love of God has authority over you tonight. And look what happens. Look what Jesus says to people that wanted to follow. This is why it's not that easy to get up here. This is why we take our time and we want to make sure the family is ready because there's a cost to following God. There's a cost to following him. And the cost is this, your life. Are you willing to give up your life to follow your new life, which is Jesus, the authority of your body? And look what Jesus says, verse 20. This gets good, my God. I got to get quick. Foxes have dens to live, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And tonight I want to talk to people tonight, because there's an authority wherever you go. Jesus, if you go to the foxes, then they have authority. If you look at the chiriquia, and you try to reach them, you can't, because why? They have a dominion. They have an authority. But me, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay my authority. Because he says his head, and the head represents what? Let's shout it out. Authority. Let's say it again. The head represents what? So God is saying, if you give me a body, if you give me somebody that I can rest my authority, because if I rest my authority, I can rest my glory, I can rest my presence, I can rest my victory, I can rest my anointing over that person who gives me their body. Is there anyone here tonight that is willing to give, Oshali the blessed, go dominion over you? Let me see your hands if you're here. I'm saying authority over you. I'm saying authority over your family, authority over your finance, authority over your sickness, authority over your problem, because your problem wants to have authority. Your sickness wants to have an authority. The devil wants you to be under his authority. And most Christians tonight fall to the devil's lie. They fall under the devil's authority when they bow to their circumstance. They bow to their sickness. They bow to that problem they're going through. You see Christians negative. You see Christians sad. And I'm here to tell you, that's not the spirit God put on you. God never intended you to be full of depression. God never intended you to be a doubter. When God made you, he made you with a spirit of positive. He told you to be ready, because the Bible says this. Here's what the Bible says. You're going to face various trials and temptations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So God is saying, if I beat the devil, I've given you the authority, because I live in you. You can beat the devil. You can overcome your situation tonight. But God is looking for somebody. He's looking for a church that will let him lay his authority. He wants to rest in you. He wants to live in you. He wants to be the head of you. He wants to be the authority over you. Does anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Just raise your hand and let me know your understanding. But now there's another problem. As Christ is the head of the church, now Satan comes in and tries to disguise himself. And there's an authority of fear that people live under. Fear. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Timothy says this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and of sound mind. So the spirit of fear is not from God. It's the spirit from the devil. And he tries to take authority. And when authority means rulership, authority means power, authority means someone over you, and fear will come over you and try to take you out of God's headship. Are you understanding me tonight? Turn your Bibles to the book of Samuel. This is where it's going to get good. A lot of reading, but you got to catch up. As we come into Goliath, I'm going to show you the authority that the enemy thought he had on God's people. I'm going to show you where David comes from, what's David's name mean, and what David represents in the Bible. You need to catch this teaching, please. Remember, God is the head of the church. The devil is not the head over your finance. He's not the head of your family. He's not an authority of you. You need to say that right with me in authority, as a matter of fact. Everyone with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Say this with me. Say, devil. You are not the authority over my life. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, my refuge, and he is my authority. If you believe that, give God praise and let the devil know who you are tonight. Now here we go. 1 Samuel 17, I'm just going to jump. I'm going to jump scriptures because there's so much reading. There's like 40 verses, and you guys will fall asleep if I read 40 verses. And I don't want that. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, opens up like this. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. That means Goliath from the evil camp, the Goliath from the enemy that the enemy created, came from the forces to face God's people. Say God's people with me. Now remember, you are God's people. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Goliath is something that everyone has faced. You all heard facing the giants. You all heard throw the rock in his head. He's going to die. I'm going to hear to tell you tonight, the rock didn't kill Goliath. You guys are going to get blown away. The rock didn't kill Goliath. I'm going to show you what killed Goliath. Stay with me. Whoever's laughing, please keep it to yourself. Forced Israel. He was over 9 foot tall. He wore bronze on his helmet. I'm going to stop there. Bronze in the Bible represents judgment. Listen to me. It represents judgment. Mom, we know God is the judge because when you came to the brazen altar, you came to the altar, it was covered with bronze, which represents judgment. Because you always have to look inside the mirror to judge yourself. Amen. But now the devil comes, the enemy comes, and he represents, and he's wearing a helmet of bronze, and he comes to you every day. He comes to God's people, and he brings judgment to them. You're no good. You're not good looking. You're too fat. No one take that offensive. You're too skinny. You need to do this, and he brings judgment on your life. You can't make money. Pedro Picasso, son. You need to leave. You need to do. Are you guys understanding how the devil talks and he speaks and he uses spirits? And these spirits judge you all day long. Are you understanding me tonight? And now this judgment of the enemy tries to come to correct God's people. And sometimes we fall to that judgment and say, you know what? You're right. I'm no good. I add up to nothing. I'll never make it. I can't rebound. I used to want to preach. I used to want to sing. I used to be on the choir. I can never make it again because now you're full of judgment. And your giant is controlling your life. Your Goliath that you allowed in over 9 foot tall is telling you how to live under his authority. And the church does this. Yes, Goliath. Yes, I'm under judgment. You're right. I'm here to tell you tonight who you are, whose you are, and who you belong to. You don't belong under the enemy's judgment. You belong under the hand of God. You are the righteousness of God. You need to remember whose you are tonight. Oh, this is going to get good. My God, I think it's going to get better tonight. Choir, get ready for me. Get ready for me. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to go to verse 8. And Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across the Israelites. Why are all you not coming out to fight me? He called them. I am a Philistine champion, but you are all the servants of Saul. Choose a man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, we will be your slave. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. And there's a problem there. And Goliath comes, and they're between one side of the valley, and Israel's on the other side of the valley, and the Israel army is staying behind, and they're not fighting. They have bows. They have shields. They have arrows. They have 10,000 soldiers waiting to attack, but they see this one man, and they're not doing anything. This man is defying the church. He's defiled the church. He's stealing people away. He's putting fear in people. He's telling people they can't defeat him, and the people are listening to him. Are you listening to me? Said, if you beat me, we will bow down to you. Now the devil's trying to make a deal with God's people. But if you guys don't beat me, Sitel after me, said Suluga, Hapanav after me, and you'll be my slave. Now the Bible says this, we were once were slaves. But John 8:31 says, know the truth, and the truth will... Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Tonight we need the truth. Here we go. We got to preach this. But if you beat him, we will be your slaves. Identify the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. Send me a man that will come against me. Send me someone who can beat me. And you're seeing the churches today. Everyone's down. Everyone's out. No one's in church the way they used to be, not just here. Everywhere you go, you hear the same old story. You hear the same old dance. People are sad. People are busted, disgusted, and no one wants to be trusted. Oh, Flannel, not my Flannel. You have to look behind your back to make sure you your Flannel, because you don't trust no one anymore. The people you thought you knew, you don't know. The people that we thought we loved, we don't love, we want to kill. And this is what the enemy came. He came to bring an authority figure of his place, and now we're not in the authority of God anymore. We stepped out of his authority, and now we're running under the authority of the enemy, because the enemy brought judgment, the enemy brings fear, the enemy brings drought, and we walk under that drought, we walk under that sleep. slavery, and we just sing that song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And this is the song of the church. Somebody does know your trouble. Somebody does know your pain. Someone does know your heartache. Are you praying to him? Are you getting on your knees? Are you giving your best to God? Are you one of those devil? I And while you're praying to God, maybe there's a lucky rabbit's foot. Maybe some people still pray under superstition. I'm here to tell you that kind of prayer will never get answered. I'm here to tell you that's the authority of the devil when you pray to, when you hold on to something else and not just trust God. And I'm here to take you from that authority of the enemy's hand, because a shepherd, when a sheep is lost, goes after the sheep and brings them back into the place of the pen. And tonight, the church of God will rebound. Tonight, the church of God will figure out who they are. Tonight, through this message, listen, who will fight me? Who wants to stand up to the enemy tonight? Who wants to declare they're not sick no more? Who wants to claim their family back? Who wants to stand right now and say, I'll fight, I'll fight? Nobody wants to stand up, see? You guys should have been on your feet saying, that's me. That's me. That's me. When you get a report that's black and white, you stand up and say, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. When you get something from the doctor, you bring it to the altar of God and you say, God, this is not my mess. Now it's yours. Take care of it. I'm healed. Glory be to God. Pastor, does it work? Yes, it works. Do you believe that it works? See, that's the key. Send me someone who will fight me. No, the problem, no one wants to fight no more. People want God to fight their battles. There's battles, here's the revelation, who takes notes. There's battles that God will fight without you fighting, but there's battles God will dress you for so you could fight. And sometimes you got to learn to take out your giant. Now remember what you said, there was past victories in your life. But you know the victories you had in the past were done in secret. Nobody knew about them. Catch me tonight, church. Stay up with me tonight, please. There's victories you had that were done in privacy. There was victories you had that you defeated the enemy that no one knew about, that nobody saw. You might have talked about it, but no one saw it. But there's a victory coming where it's going to be displayed in front of the church. It's going to be displayed in front of your compañía, that you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to defile that giant. You're going to have to take that giant out. And when you do it publicly, God's going to give you the victory. God's going to give you the anointing you need to take out your giant. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Send me a man, now David. Someone say, now David. But before I go there, let's read this. And Saul and the Israelites heard this, and they were shaking, and they were deeply sorrowed. They began to shake when the giant talked. They began to tremble when they heard something. They began to tremble when they heard news. And I'm here to tell you, once you hear something, we got this fear of authority that comes over your body. And then you pray in this fear, and then you stay in this fear. And this is what we say, God, if you can, and most women will go, Devla, if you can, I don't want to bother you, but Devla, dig bagamila. It's not if you can, God can. Never saying your prayer if you can. That means you're praying with doubt. And that means you're not praying with authority. Is anybody listening to me tonight? You're not supposed to say, God, if you can. You're supposed to say, God, I know you can do this because you said, Lord, in your word, if you speak to this mountain, it will be removed. So guess what God is saying? I can. I am. I'm willing. I wasn't. I was. I am. I am. Someone say amen. You got to understand. God wasn't in the past. He's the God of I am. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God never changes. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. God can do it. With man, it's impossible. But the Bible says with God, all things. Things are possible. All things work together for good for those who love him. Come on, give him glory like you mean it. You guys acting like you preached for them 9 days. Come on, your clap will get louder, I promise, because you're going to shake the devil's kingdom down. Now Israel was hiding in the shaking. Now David, someone say it again, now David. David's name means beloved. David's name means beloved. So God is saying, my church, my beloved. And look what he's saying, because David's name means beloved. Beloved, the son of a man named Jesse from Ephraim, from Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Guess where David shepherd? In the land of Judah. And Judah means praise. While the enemy was attacking the church, David was worshiping and staying with the sheep. And David leaves from worship, and now his worship, he becomes a worship warrior pretty soon. Are you understanding me? There's a difference to worship. Now there's a time to become a worship warrior. Because a worship warrior worships God to prepare for battle. And once he prepares for battle, now he's dressed for battle. And when he's dressed for battle, he knows he can conquer the devil. He knows he can conquer sin. He knows he can conquer whatever the enemy comes against him. You know that? Because a lot of people need to leave from their worship and become warriors. Someone say, I'm a warrior. Catch this. And David leaves from Judah. And David is from Judah. Jesse was an old man. At the time, he had 8 sons. Now listen to this. And now you got to go to verse 16, 17, 16. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion confronted them. The Israel army and taunted them. 40 days, the enemy stood in front of the church, in front of the valley, in front of God's people, saying, judging them, Dali Amaya, challenged their God, and no one stood up to say, devil, we come against you. No one did that. Not one woman, not one man said, stop it. But they all stood behind in hiding in fear under Goliath's authority. Is that the church today that God has raised? To be in fear, to live without a hope, to live without a future, always living in yesterday, never getting to your tomorrow, because your giant is taunting you for 40 days, maybe 40 years, and the number 40 means this, testing. It's the number of testing. Now, judgment came from the enemy, and now judgment is testing God's people. And now judgment will come and test you to see who you are in God, to see if you're a failure, to see if you're a wimp, or to see if you're a worship warrior. And this fear will come and test you every day. And maybe God is saying this. Maybe the church of people of God may have failed, but there's one person in the church that might be praying, that might be worshiping, and he might be coming to the battle without him knowing. And he comes from his worship, and he's ready to get involved in the battle, because worship will lead you to your battle. Worship will lead you to your giant, and worship will take down your giant. Worship will bring down your circumstance. The Bible says this, our weapons are not carnal, but they're made for the pulling down of strongholds. You don't need a sword, you don't need a shield. All you need is a praise, because when you come from Judah, you're about to pass your testing time. Now watch this, watch this. For 40 days he taunted them. Remember, he didn't fight them. He never drew one sword to kill one of them. All he did is stand up and scream and yell. Listen to this, Peter. The giant never came to fight. He came to bring fear and taunt them. All the giant did was speak. And you know what the devil does? He knows he can't fight you or attack you because you belong to someone. He knows he can only go so far with you. He knows he can't touch you because you belong to someone. So he can only do one thing. He can show you the size of his weapons. He can show you the size of your problem. He can show you the size of your mountain. And what you see, he brings in fear. And you think the devil's attacking you. He's not. He's taunting you. Is anybody listening to me tonight? And a lot of you saying, you're not a dick with that diamond. We're shot with that. We can't fight him. Don't you remember your past battle? And I'm getting to that right now. Take these sandwiches to your brothers. We all know the story. And David goes, take the sandwiches. Verses 26, David asks the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance on Israel? Now David comes from praise, comes from Judah, comes with the anointing. The anointing breaks the rock. The anointing shatters. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. David comes full of the anointing, asking the question, why is everyone hiding? Why is everyone scared? And what will we get if we kill this giant today? What will you get by destroying your problem today? What's your reward today? Here we go. You ready? Verses 32. Now, Daryl told David to leave. He's just a little boy. As we go to verses 32, don't worry about this Philistine, David said. I'll go fight him. David is talking to the king. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine. It's not possible. You can't win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since youth. And maybe a lot of you are like that today, where people are telling you, now my job, la street du bis. Now my day, chanclo to kakanchi. Now jake kangari. And you give in to the authority of the enemy. But the Bible said earlier, foxes have holes, birds have nests. I need a body to lay my victory. I need somebody that comes from praise that I can rest my anointing on. And it'll take one man that can make a difference to show the church that God does work through man. Because remember, God's glory lives inside of man. And through man, God will display his glory. Through you, God will work. Through you, God will speak. Through you, God will do the miraculous. Someone say amen if you believe that. Remember, you are his instrument. You are his power. You have authority here. Now watch this as we get into it. This man will kill you. He's been at war since he was a youth. But here's what happens. Look what David says. Now this is what I want to talk to you about. But David persisted. Someone say persisted. Say it again. Persisted. See, when I want you to speak, I'm having you speak God's word over to your situation. Remember that. David said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep, he said. And when a lion or a bear came to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after it and with a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if any animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. Now David is talking about something that came against him when nobody else knew. Here's where your revelation is, church. Maybe you fought a lion before. And maybe the lion came against you, not just one attack. Maybe something else came against you because you would just pray. But the thing that wanted to prey on you became your prey, thank God. And you conquered it before. You destroyed your lion. You destroyed your bear. You had victory at one time. And you didn't tell nobody about it because you didn't brag. But now David comes to a situation where he has to fight an enemy in front of public. And your past defeat could be your greatest reward. Someone say amen. What you've done before, you could do again. Someone say, I did it once. I could do it again. Only through God and his power. You got to get ready to get excited. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. I've done this both to the lions and the bears. And this pagan Philistine has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear will rescue me, hallelujah, from the Philistine. God was able to save you once. He's going to save you again. You didn't see no harm when it happened to you then. You're not going to see no harm if you fight this devil right now. Take back your authority. Take back your family. Take back your praise. You guys ready? Because maybe the devil stole your praise. And when you praise, you have a praise with a fear. And when you come to church, there's always that if God can. No, God can. You need to remember who God is. You need to remember if you give God your body. If you give God your body, the Bible says don't use your body for an instrument for evil. The Bible says he's the head of the church. And if God is laying his head on you, guess what? He's an authority over you. And if God's an authority over you, you win every battle. Someone give God praise. When you leave the negative and get to the positive, you're going to win your battle. Hallelujah. It's getting to the point. We're getting there, guys. We're getting there. And look what happened. Verse 40. He picked up 5 smooth stones, put them in a shepherd's bag, and then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started to cross the valley. Someone say the valley. To fight the Philistine. Goliath walked toward David with his shield, his spear, and he said, am I a dog at David? You come to me with a stick, and he cursed David, the name of his God. So now the enemy's cursing God and he's cursing David. Listen what happens. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied, here's where you guys, I need the church. David replied, David replied. So every time the enemy comes against you, you got to reply back. When the enemy tells you something about your family, when the devil tells you something about you, when the devil tells you something about your husband, when the devil says something about your wife, you better be ready to get back in attack mode. Don't listen to the devil, because if you got a praise in your mouth, you can fight the devil back. Don't let the devil defile your God. Don't let the devil tell you that you're wrong. Don't let the devil tell you your husband's no good. Don't let the devil tell you your wife is no good. Are you listening to me, church? You come back to the devil with a praise report. And when the devil talks you, you tell the devil this: you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. David didn't have a spear. David didn't have a sword. David didn't have a shield. David had five rocks in his bag. And the enemy comes against you with sickness. The enemy comes against you with lies. The enemy comes against you with authority. The enemy comes against you with judgment. The enemy comes against you with filthiness. The enemy comes against you with defilement. Are you listening to me? What the enemy comes against you with? He brings all these negative things towards you. But there's a positive thing of David. David starts to speak and say this. Here's what David says. Are you ready to hear the word of God? Glory to God. David replied to the Philistines, "You come with me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you today in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. I come to you today in the name that's above every other name. So when the devil tells you you're sick, you tell the devil, "I come to you today in the name of the Lord." And guess what? Remember what your Bible says in Philippians? God exalted him and gave him the name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, under the earth and in heaven. Remember, the devil has to bow to the name of God when you use authority, because now you're coming back to authority. And when you use the authority of God, your enemy has to bow to you. Bonus material. You guys will get it in a minute. Let it marinate like a Danny John burger or something. I know it sounds good. I missed that little guy. I beat the lion, I beat the bear, and now the enemy's telling him, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to come against you." And David said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord and heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, who defied today. The Lord will conquer you." Look at the victory. "The Lord will conquer you. I will kill you and cut your head off. Oh my God. And then I will give your body to the men and the birds and the wild animals and the whole world." Someone say, "The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Now remember, when David fought the lion, Sonny, listen, he fought it without no one seeing. When he fought the bear, no one saw it. But now he's about to fight his greatest victory, and the whole world is going to know that there's a God. When someone else is failing, God will bring someone from praise. When you can't make it, someone in praise will. When someone's worshiping God, you should pray that for the worshiper, because maybe he's the one that's going to kill this giant for all of us, and all the world will see. And when the giant is slain, everyone's going to celebrate, and everyone's going to say, "Glory be to God, we've got the victory." Because when we fight, whether it's one or whether all God gets glory no matter what. So when we take down this devil, when we take down this authority, guess who the winner is? We all are, in the name of Jesus. Now watch this. And Goliath moved closer and attacked quickly and ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd bag. David, taking out the stones, hurled it with a sling and hit the Philistine right in the forehead. I need to tell you something. Beloved, people that love God, that are in love with God, remain in the worship of God, remain in the praise of God. And then when God calls that man out, he calls him out full of the anointing, full of the authority, because God rests on the people that give him praise. God rests on the people who give him glory. Are you listening to me now? He lays his authority on the worshiper. And then you guys are missing it. You guys are missing it. My God, you guys should get this. And then the worshiper will get out of worship and go into the valley. Guess who the valley belonged to? The deed was made to Judah. And who does Judah belong to? The church. And what does Judah mean? Praise. Meaning the devil can come to your valley. He can talk all he wants, but he can't have you because he don't own you. You belong to Judah, and that means praise. Watch, watch, watch. So now Goliath says, "In the name of, I'm coming after you, I'm coming to kill you." But guess what? Goliath never spoke again once David used the name of the Lord. I taught you that 2 years ago. Once David uses the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Once David says in the name of the Lord, the giant was never allowed to speak. The giant was never allowed to talk again. Because once you come against the thing that's coming against you, and you use the authority that God has given you, he knows, he recognizes the authority, and he can't have you because he knows who authority you're under. Is anybody listening to me? When something comes against you, you better use the name of the Lord. And when you use the name of the Lord, it can't come against you ever again. Give God an amen if you understand what I'm saying. So David, try and listen, and the stone hit a forehead. But remember, David goes from worship, from beloved to worship, from worship to warrior, and then David goes to the river. And the water represents the word. And David pulls five stones out. Five represents grace. And puts five stones in his shepherd bag. Remember this. David goes from beloved. He leaves from Judah, which is praise. Gets out of worship. From worship goes into the word, just like church. We get involved in praise. We get involved in worship. And then from worship, we hear the word so we can attack our giants. Someone say amen. So now David goes to the word. David puts his hand in the word. And he takes the authority of the enemy. And he uses the word. And he throws the rock into the enemy. The rock represents Jesus because he's our strength. He's our stability. So David went from worship. He went from praise. He went from worship. And then he went from worship to the word. And then from the word, he got a rock. And the rock represents Jesus. And Jesus is your strength. He's your stability. And when you anchor to Jesus and you get in his word, when you see a giant, you can stumble it. You can make him fall. And guess what the giant did when David hit him in the forehead? He fell forward, face down, and he bowed at the name of Jesus. You better give God praise. Give God praise. When you're with the rock, when you're with the strength, when you're in the word, your giant will bow to you. Hallelujah. Now watch. This is where it gets good. Put my picture up. Put my picture up, John. Watch what happens. You guys ready? And David ran over to the Philistine with his sling. And he had, and David had no sword. See, he had no sword. And he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from the stealth. And David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Oh my God. Oh my God. Are you ready? Now can I preach for 5 minutes? And I promise I'm done. Choir, get ready. Because a lot of people have missed this and they went over a lot of heads. The enemy wants to use authority against the church. But the enemy has no authority against the church because you're under authority of God. Someone say, amen. But the only way you have authority is when you don't give in to the authority of the enemy. Someone say, amen. And a lot of people have a problem of giving in to fear, giving in to circumstance, giving in to sickness, and always saying, no, it will never happen. You need to stop the way you talk because it is happening. And David goes to Goliath. The stone didn't kill him. Guess what killed him? Cutting the head off. Everyone thinks the stone killed Goliath. The stone dropped Goliath and made Goliath bow down. But how many know Goliath could have got up and maybe attacked him again? And maybe you faced your giant and all you did is cripple him. All you did is injure him. All you did is hurt him. You know why? Because you never went to the authority to remove the authority of your problem, to remove the authority of sickness, to remove the authority of poverty, to remove the authority of that problem. The only way to kill your giant is to cut the head of Goliath out. Someone give God praise. And thank his holy name, because too many people fight a battle thinking that it's been over. You got to run to your enemy when he's down. And you got to examine the problem. And if you see it still alive, you better pull the sword he was going to use against you. And you use the enemy's sword at Dallas Palazzo. And you cut that thing from the root. You cut the authority of that sickness. You cut yourself off from the world. You cut yourself off from sin. You cut yourself off. If someone's here, stand to your feet and let's take the authority back from the enemy. Hallelujah. I said, let's give God praise. Get ready. No. I'm not going to let you go that easy. No. Listen to me. Your giant is collapsed. Doesn't mean he's dead. The thing you beat before, this is a greater challenge. You know why? You got to remove the authority of it. Don't give the devil dominion. Take back your praise. Someone say amen. Take back your joy tonight. Someone say amen. Take back your family. Amen. Hallelujah. Take back what belongs to you tonight. Hallelujah. By taking the head of the giant away. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, the son of man has nowhere to lay his head. But it seems like the devil has a lot of authority lately. Seems like lately the devil has victory wherever we go. Everyone is sad, everyone's hurt, everyone's walking like this. Tonight God says, I'm the lifter of your head. Tonight God says, I'm your authority. Tonight God says, I'm your rock. Tonight God says, I'm your word. Tonight God says, I'll be your sword. I'll be your shield. I'll be your protection. Come back to my authority and we'll go to the enemy's camp and we'll take the authority away. Give God praise. Hallelujah. But guess what? There's a giant trying to come against our church. He's trying to come against your family. He's trying to come against your kids. Tonight you know you got a battle in your house. You got a Goliath. You know why? You haven't beheaded him. Is anyone listening to me tonight? You haven't took the head of the authority away from the enemy. Well, pastor, isn't that God's job? No, it's yours. God said, go do it and he'll give you victory. Amen. Well, pastor, I'm scared. I know you're scared. Well, pastor, I don't think I'm able. Get in the word of God and you'll be able. Get in God's presence and you'll be able. Goliath said, is anybody willing to fight me? Is anybody willing to stand up against the enemy tonight? Are you ready to fight for your son? Are you ready to fight for your daughter? Are you ready to fight for your miracle? Are you ready? Church, this is serious. Someone say it in authority. We got victory. I said authority. I didn't say like we're sleeping. Someone say we got victory. Someone give God praise like you never did before for 10 seconds. Praise him like you never, praise him like you already got the head of Goliath. Praise him like you already got the battle won. Hallelujah. Listen, you ready?
Said we have the victory.
Come on, you got the victory. All you got to do is walk to your enemy. He's bowing right now. You know why? We just use the name of the Lord and your enemy's waiting. He's waiting like this. Are you ready tonight, church? He's bowing down. Are you ready?